Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We have with us today Charles Rubel. He lives in Springfield, and what's the temperature there?
Well, I don't know. This morning, last night it was 5 degrees. I don't know what it was this morning. It's a joy to be here.
Be grateful.
So
what we thought we'd do this morning is kind of take some time and talk about money.
Oh, yeah.
We're content.
Yeah. As people walk in or coming in, if you've got some chairs around, you may raise your hand. There's plenty of empty spots around here, so just make sure everybody knows. Here's the hard thing about money that I've learned over the years. Everybody thinks they know more than they do. Okay? There's a lot of misconceptions out there about how money works and what money does. And so, Charles, why don't you take a moment and explain to them what you do, who you are, and why, just take a moment and do that so they'll...
Well, in Springfield, Missouri, there is a headquarters for the Assemblies of God, which this church is actually a part of. And so it is a fellowship of churches across the country and really around the world. Back in 1992, they created a division called the Assemblies of God Foundation. And the purpose for that foundation was to serve and provide services to folks like you, sitting in the pews, who may have some needs financially, may have some things that you want to accomplish with blessing the ministries of the churches, or missions, or whatever other ministries that are out there. In 1998, they took the foundation along with some of the other financial services that the headquarters building was dealing with, put them all together into one group called AG Financial Solutions. And so I'm representing the part of AG Financial Solutions that services you. And now we've got other divisions that services pastor and the church building as an institution, but I service you. So my purpose here for the next couple days is just to visit with you. You ask questions. I see if I can give you some answers and give you directions. If there's some things that we can help you with, that's what we want to do.
Okay. The money that you receive and get, what do you do with it?
Well, for the most part, we've got different ways to do this. We've got just a straight investment, like you go down to your bank and invest in a bank account, CDs, whatever. We've got those types of cash investments that we turn around and loan them back out to Assemblies of God churches that are being built around the country. Okay? They're not consumer loans. They're only church building loans. So at the same time, you're getting a nice return on your investment. You're physically building the kingdom with buildings. And so that's what we do with those dollars. Some of the other things that we could do for you would have some different ramifications, and that's what we'll talk about this morning, get some questions going on.
Just to give an illustration of the difference, if I were to go down to the bank today and open a savings account, I would get... What, 1%?
Nothing.
1.5%?
Nothing.
About 1/10%.
1/10% get nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, anywhere from nothing to 1%.
That's nothing.
But if I took that same money, invested in the same type of account with you, how much are you paying?
Well, the lowest that we're paying on an investment with us is 2.75%. Okay, so that's quite a bit more than the local banks. But now, I'm telling you, shop around a little bit. Some banks, are offering some deals. But 2.75 is our lowest, and that is on what we call a demand note, which means you demand your money, you get it back. There's no penalties, no fees. You can add to it and take out of it. So that's the lowest. The one-year note's 3.5%, and I'm not sure I would lock my money up for longer than 1 year right now. There's just so many things going on that could just jump right up again, who knows. But I don't think I'd go longer than a year right now.
Okay. What have you seen over the last few years, the big changes that we're facing in regards to, just as a country, how things shifted with what we do with money as Christians?
You know, I think what I've seen over the last 10 years in the shift there and the trend, if you think about what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and had him to teach the people at Ephesus, and he says, instruct your people not to put their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but to put your hope in God, who richly blesses us with all things. The thing that I have seen is early 10 years ago, early 2000, 2001, 2002, people were putting their hope a little bit in money, and now all of a sudden that has crashed and there's some uncertainty out there. And so people didn't maintain that hope in their money and their riches and the things, and that uncertainty has creeped in now, and they're scared. They kind of paralyzed to do anything at all. And doing nothing at all is a stewardship decision, but it's not necessarily the best stewardship decision. And so you need to look at some things, review your plans, look at some other ideas and things that are solid, that you can understand, that might be of help to you as good stewards of what God's provided to you.
We talked a little bit about it, but would you agree that, and I know you do, so I've already talked, so I know, that America is no longer now an isolationist, that now we've entered into a global economy that isn't going to shift?
Well, I agree with that totally. You know, as I look around the room, a lot of us grew up in a generation that it was all, you know, it was United States, we could take care of ourselves. And the thought process was, you know, as you look at the markets go up and down, it was pretty much based on us. And it kind of offends my mind now to think globally with all the emerging markets, Brazil and China and Korea and all of them. It's kind of offensive to me to think I have to transition my thought process to a larger scale where I don't know what they're going to do because they don't have the same values I have. But that's what things are being based off now. And that transition, I think, is really kind of tough.
Would you say that we need them as much as they need us at this point in time?
Well, at this point in time, sure. I mean, because it is what it is. It's a global economy now, whether we like it or not.
That's your question. You talked a little bit about Friday night about the stuff that we didn't have to pay for a few years back, and how that has shifted in everything. Mm-hmm. You want to address that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, when you think about your monthly expenses, think 15 years ago, maybe 20. I mean, I know I didn't have a cell phone. You know, that was $100 a month right there for one. And of course, you know, my wife has to have one too, so there's another $100 a month I didn't have to have. I didn't have internet. Well, you know, there's another expense that we didn't have to have then. Didn't even have
cable. You got to have fast internet. You can't have the slow dial.
No.
Yeah.
That's so 90s.
80s.
You got to have the fastest stuff. You got to have the latest equipment. I mean, who ever heard of a laptop in the 90s? I mean, they just weren't that around very much.
That was your cat.
Yeah, exactly. It was your cat.
No,
we didn't have
Speak for yourself.
You know, we didn't have satellites and cable the way we have it now. I mean, you figured that up, and you could have $400 to $500 a month expenses that you didn't have 15 years ago. And you go, what am I really getting for that? And you know, well, you're getting communication that you just have to do nowadays. I mean, could you live without your cell phone today?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably could.
You're asking this group. You're asking groups upstairs?
I didn't say no.
They'll tell you a different answer.
You go to the youth group, and if the youth group can't text during the pastor's sermon, I don't know what to do. So there's a lot of expenses, a lot of things, which just says you need to constantly review your plans and what you're doing and what God's doing with you, with the resources He's given you.
Because of the next 10 years, there will be new things.
Yeah.
So what you have to understand about money and investment and how you manage money, it always changes. The principles stay constant, but how you do it shifts. I believe Christians are called to invest wisely. So it's there. Now, everybody in this room, at some point in time, you're going to die, but before that, you hope to retire. All right? Now, I put a little formula up on the board we're going to talk about a little bit. We want to take questions here this morning, so we're going to open it up here. But here's your retirement in essence. It's SS, which is Social Security. Okay? It's an income. Think all you want, oh, it's not going to be there, it's going to go away. Listen, the government's going to have a very difficult time getting rid of that. Okay? It might be the issues and everything else, but for now, it's there. Plus, your savings, your investments, the money that you've set aside that you have to use as well. Minus your bills, your debts, equals your lifestyle. Somebody said poverty. Now, when you come to talk about retirement, this question mark is different for everybody in the room. Because everybody has a different idea of how they want to live. For some, it's very meager. I don't want this, don't want to do this, I just want this, this is all I want. For other people, I want this, it's a different level. And we can't say one's better than the other. It's just a matter of taste. So when you come to talking investment, when you come talking about savings, which is what we'll do here, there is not a one-size-fits-all. It's different for every person. What are you going to be happy with, content with, comfortable with? Your call, your choice. Okay? So that and as we deal with all this, and as you deal with that, everybody in this room has a different idea of what they want. And so then everybody else has a different idea of how this works. If you could talk to people about savings, what would you want to tell them that are the basics?
The basics of savings?
Other than do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or what information do they need to know?
Well, here's what I know about this. For 40-some-odd years, you worked hard and accumulated assets. During that time period, you spent assets. You did lots of things in and out, and you transacted business with those assets. When you start thinking about that time when you are retired, or if you're already retired, you're there, you got to start thinking about preserving those assets. You're probably not going to have that much opportunity unless you really built a lot of reserves during your time you were working to accumulate more. And so preserving is what you're really probably thinking about during retirement for most of us. In preserving those assets, you may have some assets that no longer are really working for you to get you some of this income piece over here.
Amen.
Okay? And so, I mean, I've talked with a lot of folks who bought real estate for rental properties when they were in their 40s and 50s. Was tremendous income for them for a lot of years. They were doing the repair work themselves and getting up in the middle of the night and going over and fixing this and that and the other. But there came a day when they said to themselves, I'm really tired of being a landlord. I just don't want to do this anymore. And so you start paying somebody else to manage that real estate for you. Well, that cuts into your profit margin quite a bit there. So you say, well, why don't you just sell those properties? What's the big issue if you go and sell one of those rental properties you've had for 20, 25 years?
Taxes.
Capital gains taxes. And you go, well, you know what? I don't want to do that. I mean, that's going to hurt me. So are there options with appreciated assets, whether it be a real estate thing or whether it be stocks? Maybe your stocks aren't paying the dividends that you want them to pay in order to preserve out there for the rest of your life. And so you go, what can I do without paying capital gains taxes? And you know what? The IRS has allowed some things for those people who have a charitable heart. There are some things that you can do to not pay those taxes. And guess what? If you're not paying the taxes, where could you pay it? You can pay it to the ministries of the church. And so you get the tax break because of that charitable heart. Okay? Everybody in this room has a charitable heart anyway. So you can choose whether to pay the government or to pay the church. So if you could swap that payment from taxes to church, you might consider what would be good for you in that situation. And then you could have lifetime income from that option.
We got two different groups of people. Let's talk about younger couples. What advice would you give a young couple that is just starting out who says, we don't have any money to save? What would you tell them to do?
Well, survive? If you don't have any money at all.
You mean I could have lived on love?
Yes.
Here's what all of us know. God's faithful. He's going to take care of us and provide us. You know, it may not be as much as we think we want or need to do the things we want to do as compared to the guy next door who's got toys that we don't have. But God's still providing for us. And all we're asked to do is be faithful stewards of what He's providing. Okay? So I would say if you were in your 20s, you know, I don't know very many of you here are in your 20s, but if you're in your 20s, maybe you've got children who are in their 20s, highly, highly encourage you to start an IRA, or if your company where you work has a 401k plan. And I don't care if it's $5 a week. Okay? Getting started on that routine gives you what you don't have when you're 50 and 60 years old. It gives you that time value of money. The longer you have that $5 invested, the more it's going to be when you retire. If you start in your 20s, you're going to have way more than if you wait until you're 30-something to start. So just that little piece of time. So highly encourage all the young people you know to at least start some kind of a retirement account for a little bit. Sacrifice. Do a daily fast from Starbucks if you have to. But just give up $4 or $5 a week in some way to be able to do that. You know, is that impossible for some of you? It's, you know, yeah, I get it. But review what you're doing with what God's provided and see, is it the best thing to be doing? And you know what? Sometimes spending $5 on a Starbucks is a good thing because you took the pastor with you. And you fellowshipped with him, right? And you gained from his knowledge and wisdom.
That would be an investment.
Yes. So I'm not saying that there's any one answer for everybody in the room, but I am saying think through and understand that what you have, it came from the Lord. It wasn't yours and it still isn't yours. You're just there as a steward, and every transaction, no matter what it is a sacred transaction.
Amen.
You mentioned one other thing Friday night about the will. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a will, you should have one. I don't care what age you are. Because is everybody here have a will?
No.
The absolute answer is yes, you do. Because if you didn't do one yourself, the state of Florida did one for you. because they wrote state statutes. You have a question?
Trust, you don't go through probate or nothing.
Well, that's true. If you have a trust, it doesn't go through probate. What's already in the trust when you die? But if you've got some assets that are in the trust when you die, those assets will be probated to get to the trust. I mean, that's a good question, though. Does people understand probate? I mean, is that the thing that 60 Minutes comes in and tells you these stories about? Probate is really a pretty simple thing that can get way out of hand if people aren't good stewards. Here's what probate is. When a person dies, all of their assets have to be passed on to another generation. I mean, something has to happen with those things. The process of retitling those assets to some other place, whether it be the church or the kids or the grandkids or whoever it is.
Or the government.
Or the government. Well, they don't want it.
The government doesn't want it.
What do they want it for? They might want some taxes off of it. They don't really want the asset. I mean, you think about your place, but they want your place. Yeah, they want to do it.
Okay.
So that process of going from you, titled in your name, to the next generation of stewards is called probate. Okay? That's really a pretty simple process. Now, let's think about some things are not probatable, all right? Things that are already titled to a trust, not probatable, doesn't count, all right? There are lots of other things, too. Does anybody have a retirement IRA or something that has a beneficiary on it? That's not probatable, okay? Anything that you have put a beneficiary designation on is not a probatable item. So when your will says, whatever I've got, give in this manner, and it goes through that probate process to do it, anything you already have a beneficiary designation on doesn't go through that will process. Okay? Now, think about your assets, and think about how many things that cuts out of the probate process. Probably quite a few. Because your bank account, you can put a beneficiary designation on. Your life insurance, your IRAs, I mean, there's a lot of things. You can even go down to the motor vehicle department and put a transfer on death of the deed to your car to a beneficiary. Okay, that's one method of estate planning. Okay, a trust is another method of estate planning. Okay, and for the right people, a trust is a good thing to have because of the way they want it distributed or because of the assets they've accumulated. So there's a lot of different things that could happen there. And if you're not sure what is right for you, come visit with me. We'll sit down and walk through it. Question?
Can it be as simplistic as just saying all my earthly possessions will be beneficiary to? Is that enough, or will they have to be categorized as specified?
Okay, the question is about in the will, how do you specify them, and how do you get those things passed on? Let me say this. The will does not care what you have. It doesn't care that you have a house and a bank account. The will does not care. Because the will is going to do nothing for you until the minute after that last breath. And then it's going to do what it's supposed to do, which is distribute your assets, whatever they are, wherever they are. So you don't have to specify, okay, I want this to go to this, and I want this to do this, and I want... You can just say, hey, you know when I'm gone? I want to leave a gift of ministry to my church, and I'm going to leave the rest of my children equally. Or in some other manner. Okay? And so that's all the will really has to state. Now, in the state of Florida, to be an executable will, it has to be witnessed by two witnesses on your signature and a notary. Okay? And that's all that's really required in the state of Florida. Now, I would still suggest that maybe an attorney ought to be the one who draws that up. And our attorneys are happy to do that for no charge as long as you want to do the ministry gift. So we're happy to do that. Yes, sir.
If you didn't have a will, one of the spouses passed away, what would be the ramifications of that? Would it be more costly to probate that? Or could there be just problems?
Well, if you don't have a will, what happens to your spouse situation? I mean, if your spouse is there, that's a pretty easy process because you can pass back and forth between spouses pretty easily. Because most of the time you own things jointly anyway. So if you died, you own something jointly with your wife, she automatically owns it anyhow, so there's no issue. Okay? Now, if you own a property in your name only and you die, that's got to go through the process of probating to get title to her name. Okay? And, you know, but you got to have your will's got to state what that is. That you wanted that to go to her and not some other place.
I don't want to miss it because we got into it, like I learned something the other night about the designation for young couples for children. Mm-hmm. That a will designates an estate where you want your children to go. In other words, who you want to care for them. Right. However, go ahead from there.
Well, if you have minor children in the house, when mom and dad are gone, they become a ward of the state. Okay, mamas don't want to hear this, and grandmamas really don't want to hear it. But they become a ward of the state, and then the state makes the determination who's going to be guardian over those kids' physical bodies. Okay, a lot of people don't think in those terms that's the legal way it happens. So if you have minor children in the home, you should have a will, if for no other reason, to nominate a guardian for those children. Okay? It's not an absolute. But at least you're giving the state some guideline of who you want them to look at first before they disqualify and go to somebody else. Okay? And so that's how that wants to go.
Hang on. And in most cases, if you don't have that there, it would probably be some member of the family. In most cases. Not necessarily guaranteed.
Could be.
But a lot of cases,
For sure.
But that right there creates an opening, though, because you can have family members fighting over the
right.
Children.
Oh, absolutely.
In-laws and in-laws.
Absolutely. And I can promise you, my grandchild better be coming to me. Okay? And I don't care what my son's will or daughter's will says. They better be coming to me. And hey, grandmas, am I right?
Yes,
sure. That's the way it's going to work.
So if you designate a guardian physically for the minor children, should that guardian also be the person responsible to manage your assets that you hope that when the children become adults, that your assets that you've left behind, or should that be another person?
Well, that's a good question. The question in here is, if you name your guardians over their physical bodies, should that be the same person that you name as trustee over any financial package you left them?
Right.
That's a determination for you to say. The trustee is an absolute. If your will says, I want Billy Joe Bob to be my trustee, that is an absolute. They're going to take care of the money, regardless of who the guardian is.
Right. Can an institution be the trustee of the assets?
Absolutely. We're trustees for people all day, every day. Banks are trustee departments, they do. So yeah, that can absolutely happen.
I'm just thinking worst case scenario, should your designated guardian of your minor children fall on hard times during the time that they're finishing raising your children and saying, hey, mom and dad left all this stuff, we need to spend the money, because otherwise we're going to lose the house, the car, whatever, and then when they grow up, there's nothing there for them.
Well, the idea of the trustee is to use the dollars for the care of that child growing up until an age when you have directed that trustee then to give them the lump sum and they're done.
If there's any left.
Lots of questions over here.
Getting back to if the spouse died,
what if the spouse is not a U.S. citizen?
Probably needs to be something we can visit about. To see the specific situation. It may or may not have any effect, but we just have to look and see what assets are there and how that's going to work. We do wills for people that aren't U.S. citizens all the time, but we just have to make sure that our attorneys that are doing it know that they're not U.S. citizens so that they put the right clauses in there. But I don't know that it affects it that much.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Her estate. Her estate takes the bill, takes care of the bills when she dies. If you have co-signed on anything with her, or you're jointly ownership on anything with her, you may have some responsibility there. But if you haven't, and her estate isn't enough to cover the bills, I'm sorry, creditors, you're not getting paid. Because you would have no responsibility to pay those bills for her out of your pocket unless you had some tie to that responsibility.
So I have to make sure her still on the same money.
Right. Take your husband's name off of, you don't want your name on to any of her indebtedness.
Correct. Correct.
But you probably would need at some point in time a power of attorney. Okay.
Okay, there's another question over here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that I heard you right. If I were to pass away, if I had a will designating where I wanted my son to go to, the state will still make him a ward of the state, but they'll take my wishes into consideration?
Yeah, your will is going to have a tremendous amount of influence because the state doesn't know you.
Right.
And they're going to say, well, where are these kids going to go live? And they're going to look at your will and say, well, Mama wanted them to go live with these people. Let's go check them out. You know, do they qualify? Do they meet all of our rules for guardianship? If yes, that's where they'll go.
So they would not automatically go to my parents just because I put in a will.
Unless, not necessarily.
What if one of them was an adopted parent?
One was an adopted parent.
Biological parent and adopted parent. And when the biological parent died, the adopted
I wish I could say yes 100% of the time, but I can't.
And what we're addressing here is if both parents are gone. Okay, Cameron?
Oh, I didn't want to take you back too far, but two things. One was on the chart up there.
Right.
Obviously, we know Social Security is one of the things we should depend upon, and then savings. But for the folks that are far from retirement, not in retirement, what studies have you read that says Social Security will be there 30 or 40 years? I've read many.
Well, let me put it to you this way, because the question is how we know this is going to be there. Here's what we know. This is a risk, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Savings, it's a risk.
Right now, yes.
Correct?
Yes.
You don't know, and some of you thought it was all going to be there, and today it's not.
Nope.
Right? So everything up here is risk factor. What you have to also, we talked about this Friday night, is understand something. What do you invest in? As much risk as you can take. Risk has to do with fear. You never make financial decisions or any other decisions out of fear. You do, you'll make bad decisions. But you always have to understand, even if you take your money and put it under your mattress, you are taking a risk. There is a risk in everything you do with money. And so you have to manage it in a way that you're comfortable with the risk factor. And everybody, I learned a long time ago, my wife's definition of risk and mine are completely different. Okay? So I had to learn, hold on, we got to put something here together because we all have a different risk factor. Fear factor. That it?
There was one other thing that when we were talking about the ownership of assets and transfer and the will, why it's important, I don't think anybody brought up the question of a joint asset, such as a business that may be owned by me and a partner. Now, if I don't have a will, that asset may go into probate. Can you touch on that? Would that asset automatically go to the partner, or would my wife be entitled to it? I never had a will.
Well, if you own a business, there's some different rules there because it depends on how you own that business.
Is it a
partnership? Is it a corporation? What kind of situation is it? Because that business may not have a life that ends necessarily like you do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so there's going to be some different rules to think about when you die, what happens to your business. It may or may not pass to your children as ownership part with your partner, or it may all pass to the partner, depending on how you had it set up.
Tony.
I have adopted my special needs children many years ago, and I have a daughter who I have not seen or spoke to like in 11 years because she went to find her birth mom. But somebody had told
you don't leave them even a dollar that you can come in and contest that? Is that true?
Well, you know, here's what I like to tell people in those situations. An adopted child is the same as a natural born child. Okay? And here's what I like to tell people. I say, when we do a will for you, let's list out all the children that are legally yours. Then if you want to disinherit some of them, you say, yeah, Billy Joe Bob is my son, but I don't want to leave him anything. So you've recognized he's your son. And so when he shows up at the court, even though he hadn't seen you in 40 years, he will show up when you die. So when he shows up, the will is going to say, yeah, Billy Joe Bob, we know you're there. But guess what? Mom said you get nothing.
So you don't have to leave $1?
No. Not if you don't want to. Now, understand something. A will can be contested. It's a public document. Anybody can contest the will. You know, if I die today, you can go contest my will if you want to.
Amen.
Right, you know, whether you win or not doesn't matter.
Yeah.
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 One
kid
got updated
on will. Okay, good question. When should you update your will? You know, events happen in your life that may say, you know, I need to pull my will out and see if it still says what I want it to say. I'll look at some wills and kind of walk through them, and I'll just kind of read down and say, does that still say what you want it to say? Yes. Wait, well, this was made in 1972, but it still says what they want it to say. All right. So I'd say every year or two, just kind of get it out, read it, and say, does this still say what I want it to say? But, you know, there's a lot of times when people say, you know what, I haven't been to that church in 37 years. I've been going here. But I still am going to leave a gift to that church. I think I need to review my will and update it. Because I want to leave ministry gifts somewhere else. Or I need to do this for these children or that for that children. Or now I've got grandchildren I want to do something for.
Yeah, in my case, when I made my will, I had kids that were at home. Now they're all gone. I need to update the will.
Yeah. Okay. So just whatever an event happens is when you maybe want to look at that.
That brings up one more question. I'm the... Let's say an IRA, you got beneficiaries, you got three of them. If one of them should die of your natural daughter or son, there's such a thing called sushi or something like that. I don't know what it
is. Sushi is something you should never eat.
It's bad for you.
Yeah.
The deceased son's family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about beneficiaries and how things pass down if you have some predeceases you. Okay, so like if you've got a child that predeceases you and your will says leave everything to this child and my other child, but one of those children predeceases you, what does your will say? That's what you would want to look at and review your will. Probably most of them will say, you know what, if my son predeceases me, give his portion to his children, so it kind of keeps in that line down through your son. Now, it's not called sushi, it's called purse derpies.
I like sushi better.
So, if that's not what you want, if your son dies before you and you don't want the grandkids to get it, you would need to have it directed to the other child and they would get all of it. But you would need to tell an attorney that's what you want to do. Typically, they're going to follow the line down through grandkids and great-grandkids.
Well, if your son died the wife, would she get you grandchildren?
Well, yeah, if your spouse... Oh, no. The in-law, you mean? The daughter-in-law?
Yeah.
No, she's not in the line at all. Unless you put her in there.
The
which you can do, but most people don't. Okay, there's a question over here.
When we're younger, I call it a gathering. We're always gathering, we're buying more, bigger, better. But as we get older, we really ought to be in a disbursement. Now, what I mean by that, it comes to a certain point in time, what is the blessing to the children, the grandchildren that you love? Is it after you die? Or should you share some of these things with them while you're still alive?
Yes.
I call that part of the disbursement, you know, in our life. Share those blessings with them as well.
Well, I do see a lot of people, the comment was, you know, actually giving it away during your lifetime. And I see a lot of people who have that in their heart, that they want to actually increase some of this, not so they can accumulate it for themselves, because they have plenty for themselves, but so they can have the joy of giving it away during your lifetime. And to, whether it's to the grandkids or whether it's to some ministries of some sort, you know. And so they want that joy. You know, you can give $13,000 away without it being any kind of a thing for a tax deal at all. So, you know, you can do that every year for each child or person.
Okay. Well, we're out of time.
All right.
Okay. Now, as you can tell, this is why we have him here. Because whatever you understand about money, understand something. Every month it changes. What was a good investment 2 years ago is not a good investment today. What the law said last year has changed to this year. So you constantly, well, I've dealt with that, I don't need to, you constantly have to address this issue. We have a couple of appointments left with him, a couple tonight and a couple tomorrow. So if you want to sit down with him and just talk, that's what he's here for. I have the sheet here. So if you want to do that, you see me and I'll put you in, but we've only got a few left. So that's what we're doing. That's what he did yesterday. And
yeah, let me say this to you,
okay,
Pastor. If because my time is filled up before I have to leave, if you've got enough folks that want to, like, say, hey, next time you're in the area, I want to see you. If you want to accumulate those things, let me know. Then, you know, you get 7 or 8 of them, give me a call, and I'll come back down and visit with those folks.
Okay.
Okay? So, I mean, my service doesn't leave when I leave Tuesday. I mean, I'm back down here to help you.
Is there any place we if we can't make these arrangements, is there any place we can get this information?
If you got a website or a call or a card, any cards?
Yeah, I've got some cards right here. I'll lay on this table. And you can call me, you can email me, whatever.
Okay? Thanks for coming.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.